नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 4। चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द हंस गुह्य प्रेयर्स, टेक्स्ट नंबर 10 एंड 11। यूयम् यूयम् च पित्रान् वादिष्टा देवदेवेन चानघः प्रजासर्गाय हि कथम् वृक्षान् निर्दग्धुम् अर्हत। You translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O pure-hearted ones, your father, Prachini Barhi, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead have ordered you to generate population. Therefore, how can you burn to ashes these trees and herbs which are needed for the maintenance of your subjects and descendants? Text number 11. आतिष्ठत सता मार्गम कोपम यच्छत दीपितम पित्रा पितामहेनापि जुष्टम व प्रपितामहे। ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। द पाथ ऑफ गुडनेस ट्रेवल्स बाय अ फादर, ग्रैंडफादर एंड ग्रेट ग्रैंडफादर्स इज दैट ऑफ मेंटेनिंग द सब्जेक्ट्स प्रजास इंक्लूडिंग द मैन animals and trees. That is the path you should follow. Unnecessary anger is contrary to your duty. Therefore, I request you to control your anger. Purport. Here the words pitra pita mahenapi jushtam va prapita mahe depict an honest royal family consisting of kings, their father, their grandfather and their great grandfathers. Such a royal family has a prestigious position because it maintains the citizens or prajas. The word praja refers to one who has taken birth within the jurisdiction of government. The exalted royal families were conscious that all living beings, whether human, animal, or lower than animal, should be given protection. The modern democratic system cannot be exalted in this way, because the leaders elected strive only for power and have no sense of responsibility. In a monarchy, a king with a prestigious position follows the great deeds of his forefathers. Thus, Soma, the king of the moon, here reminds the Prachetas about the glories of their father, grandfather, and great-grandfathers. So in this particular verse, we are seeing that how the king of the moon, Somadev, is reminding the Prachetas about the lineage they are coming in. And they are instructing them that you should be following the footsteps of your father, who have led a very pious life and who are well known for maintaining their subjects very nicely, and therefore you should not unnecessarily burn or destroy these trees. So this particular purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks about Somadev urging his Prachetas to follow the footsteps of their father, because Prachetas are nicely trained from the birth by their fathers and grandfathers. So today we would like to discuss something on training which a person receives in heritage from his father and forefathers. One time there was a king in France who was overthrown by a coup, and he was killed brutally. His whole family was destroyed, and his son, the prince, was made captive. And the persons, the tyrants who had overthrown the king, they wanted that the prince should be degenerate in his character. So they tried all their means in the prison. They inflicted troubles on him, put negative influences, and down the years this prince stayed in prison, but there was no influence on him. So the tyrants asked the prince that we are trying our best to degenerate your character so that you don't become the king. Because they thought that even if this prince lives and the people elect him again because of his kingship, good kingship, then we might lose our government. So they were trying their best to degenerate his character so that no one will elect him. But they tried their best, but nothing happened to him. So when they asked this prince that why you are not getting influence, and the prince replied that I was born to be king. And because I was born to be king, therefore he cannot change my position. So you can see that when a person is born in a particular heritage, the training he receives from his family plays a very vital role in his life. We, in our class, today we'll be discussing on some examples of noble kings who were pious, spiritual. Then we'll also talk about pure devotee kings, and then we'll discuss something about training one receives in Krishna consciousness from devotee parents. So, as far as noble kings are concerned, I remember the story of Shivaji Maharaj. He was one of the noble kings in the state of Maharashtra, and he had also received a very wonderful training from his mother. Right from the day when Shivaji Maharaj was born, his mother would tell stories from Mahabharata and Ramayana and instruct on religious principle to Shivaji Maharaj. So Shivaji Maharaj, he knew that his father was working for the Mughals and he was not happy about it. But there was no other way his father could earn a living. So Shivaji Maharaj decided that I will not follow what my father is doing because he is bound by his duties. I am very powerful in chivalry, in statesmanship. I will try to earn a kingdom by myself because I am a Kshatriya. So Shivaji Maharaj conquered forts over forts. And while conquering one fort, when the Mughal king there was ruling, was destroyed, was killed, all these soldiers of Shivaji Maharaj bought the beautiful queen of the Mughal emperor as a gift to Shivaji Maharaj. And this queen was very well known for her beauty, and her fame of beauty was spread all over. Everyone knew this queen was very beautiful. So they offered it to Shivaji Maharaj that this queen is now yours. So the queen was very much disturbed. She was literally in tears. Shivaji Maharaj saw the queen and said that you are so beautiful. If I would have taken birth from your womb, I would also be beautiful. So therefore you are my mother. I will not touch you. Please go back again to your own family and live a nice life. So we can see that this particular incident, here a king like Shivaji Maharaj, he is not reacting to something which is very easy to react. A king who is well known for enjoyment in his kingdom, and a rightful thing, a queen being caught and very beautiful. But here Shivaji Maharaj is considering every other woman except his wife as his mother because of the training he has received from his childhood. We also heard from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj about the story of Butch O'Hare and Easy AD. Now, I don't know how many of you remember this past time, the story. But I'll tell in short, Easy AD was a very important lawyer in which Chicago? In Chicago. And he was kind of always helping a great mafia in Chicago to always win. And because of this expert lawyer's expertise, this mafia could not be caught. Because somehow or other this person as a lawyer would always win the case for him. So, but he was in his own heart, he was thinking that I am doing a wrong thing because I am helping someone who is a criminal and who is against the state and who is creating havoc in the state. So therefore he decided that I should give up this occupation. But he knew giving up occupation means I will be shot or I will be killed by this mafia. But he thought that I will do this because I should set up a good example for my son. Because tomorrow if my son sees that my father was always helping a criminal, then he'll also have a very bad character. So against all odds, Mr. Eddy stopped fighting for this mafia. And as a result, the mafia was caught. And the bad fortune is that he was actually killed by this mafia. Years later, Maharaj was explaining that there was a fight which happened between America and Japan. And that time, Japanese were well known for suicide bombings. Japanese would travel in airplanes, and instead of striking bombs on the enemy, they would strike the airplane itself on the enemies. So, when the Japanese were attacking the American ship, it was one particular gentleman who started flying towards them to stop them coming to the base. And he knew very well that he had very less fuel. He could not travel more. But he had no option. Because if he doesn't travel and shoot them, then they will come and destroy the whole base. So with all odds he traveled, he destroyed all the fighter planes which came from the opposite side. But in turn he lost his own life. And this was Butch O'Hare. And the connection was that Butch O'Hare was the son of Easy Eddy. And Maharaj was mentioning that Butch O'Hare got the dedication to fight for his country because he saw the example of his father. His father was leading a very bad life, but just to set him an example for his son, he gave up that occupation and was killed too. But still, he did not hesitate. And later, because of Butch O'Hare's dedication and his sacrifice, the airport at Chicago was named O'Hare Airport. So these are the lives of some pious leaders. Now we will see something about the life of a pure devotee king. The first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam speaks wonderfully about the life of Maharaj Yudhishthir and the life of Maharaj Parikshit. I'd like to read something from Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. The chapter is entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit. Now, here in this chapter, initially Maharaj Yudhishthir is glorified, and later Emperor Parikshit, how he takes birth in the womb and is saved by Lord Krishna there, and then his future is foretold. So many of us already read this chapter, but I'd like to request that let us analyze Maharaj Yudhishthir's life as if Maharaj Parikshit is seeing Maharaj Yudhishthir and what he is learning from Maharaj Yudhishthir. So here, in text number 4, the translation, Prabhupada mentions, now we'll see from Maharaj Parikshit's angle. Maharaj Parikshit is saying that Yudhishthir Maharaj was administering generously to everyone during his reign. And Maharaj Yudhishthir was exactly like his father. So this is a parampara coming in kings. And he had no personal ambition. He was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service under the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit, as a small child, either he is visualizing himself or is hearing about Maharaj Yudhishthir's rule, then Maharaj Yudhishthir's devotion, and then finally he will also see Maharaj Yudhishthir's retirement. And we will see that how this has influenced Maharaj Parikshit's life, and we see the same thing happening in Maharaj Parikshit's life also. So here we can see Yudhishthir Maharaj's rule. He was administering generously to everyone. For him, everyone was equal. And he was not ruling for sense gratification. Moreover, in fact, Yudhishthir Maharaj was so famous that news about his glories was reaching even the celestial planets. And the demigods were appreciating his sacrifices, his possessions, and his queens, his stalwart brothers, his sovereignty over everything, and his fame. In fact, Shukdev Goswami mentions, this is Sutta Goswami, I think so. He mentions that king was so enchanting, Maharaj Yudhishthir was so enchanting, that even denizens of the heavenly planets, they aspire to be like Maharaj Yudhishthir. That was his rule. And Srila Prabhupada nicely mentions that what was the reason that Maharaj Yudhishthir could rule the entire earth? Because that time Maharaj Yudhishthira was the king, the solemn king of the whole planet. Prabhupada mentions in another purport that the only reason that people agreed to be under him was because the people were happy under him because of his good administration. The happiness of the citizens was due to ample production of natural products. They were even free from all bodily miseries, anxieties of mind, and disturbances caused by natural phenomena and other living beings. And because everyone was happy in all respects, there was no resentment. Although there were sometimes battles between state kings for political reasons and supremacy, but everyone was trained to attain the highest goal of life. So this was Maharaj Yudhishthira's rule, wherein he led a noble, pious life, dedication to Lord Krishna, and all of his subjects were totally happy under him. And this is Maharaj Parikshit watching all these things, seeing Maharaj Yudhishthira ruling. So this was Maharaj Yudhishthira's rule. As far as devotion is concerned, it is mentioned that even though all the great denizens of heaven aspired for Maharaj Yudhishthira's position, but as far as Maharaj Yudhishthira is concerned, it is mentioned that he was not at all attached to his own position. He was absorbed in the service of the Lord, and nothing could satisfy him except the Lord's service. So we can see Parikshit Maharaj is getting a powerful example in his life, wherein he is seeing his own grandfather who is training him without even speaking, training him to be a good king, a good devotee. And we see that how Yudhishthira Maharaj was so very much he wanted to know what is the character or the future of this child. Maharaj Parikshit was in the womb. And that time he called upon all the great Brahmanas and asked the Brahmanas to tell what is the glorious future of Parikshit Maharaj. And Srimad Bhagavatam speaks verse after verse wherein these Brahmanas are foretelling in the future what will happen, how Maharaj Parikshit will be glorious. In his glorious deed he will be like this king, in his administration he will be like this king. So every quality which Maharaj Parikshit had was represented to a very powerful king in the universe of that time, of the past era. So we can see Maharaj Parikshit, before becoming a king, he was already qualified to be king. He didn't go to schools, administration colleges, and then become qualified, and then got elected, and then become a king. No, he was born to be king. Today we see in political arena, when the political leaders, they fight for the elections. Then they come and say that, when I'll get elected, I'll do this for you, do that for you. And suddenly they start speaking about good things, what they will do. And everyone knows, clear cut, that when they get elected, they forget everything. So they come and they boast about their good qualities to public, and therefore you should elect me. But herein, Maharaj Parikshit was been foretold that he will be born with those qualities. He didn't have to boast somewhere to get publicity for being a king. He was born to be king. So herein we can see that how Maharaj Yudhishthira's life is influencing Maharaj Parikshit. And the great powerful point is now is that when Lord Krishna departs from this universe, we will see what is the reaction of Yudhishthira Maharaj. It is mentioned in the 15th chapter, the Pandavas retired timely, that when Maharaj Yudhishthira heard about Lord Krishna's departure, what was the reaction? Maharaj Yudhishthira was intelligent enough to understand the influence of age of Kali, and therefore he wisely prepared himself to leave home and he dressed accordingly. Prabhupada says, modern politicians should take lessons from Maharaj Yudhishthira about voluntary retirement from active life and should make room for the younger generation. Also, retired old gentlemen should take lessons from him and leave home for spiritual realization before forcefully dragged away to meet death. And then Maharaj Yudhishthira, at once he put Maharaj Parikshit, who was now capable of ruling the kingdom, on the throne, and he relinquished all his garments, his belt, his ornaments, and became completely disinterested and unattached to everything. This is Maharaj Parikshit watching Maharaj Yudhishthira. And then Maharaj Yudhishthira dressed himself in torn clothing, gave up eating all foodstuffs, voluntarily became dumb, and let his hair hang loose. All this combined to make him look like an urchin or madman with no occupation. He did not depend on his brothers for anything, and just like a deaf man, he heard nothing. He then started towards the north, treading the path accepted by his forefathers and great men. So he was also leading a path which his forefathers had taught him. To devote himself completely to Krishna and elude in that way wherever he went. And seeing Yudhishthira Maharaj going without even telling anyone, the other Pandava brothers, they see and they also start following the footsteps of their elder brother. And Maharaj Parikshit is watching all this. And similarly, they also performed all the principles of religion and completely attached themselves to lotus feet of Krishna and gave up everything. And it is mentioned later that by their pure consciousness, all these Pandavas could remove all the contamination from their heart, and being completely washed of all material contamination, they attained that abode in their very same bodies. So it's a powerful example which Maharaj Parikshit is seeing in his life. Therein, Draupadi and Subhadra, when they see that their husbands had gone without caring for them, they also completely immerse themselves in thoughts of Krishna and attain the same result as their husbands. So this is what Maharaj Parikshit is watching in his life, the training he is receiving from his grandfathers and grandmothers. Similarly, we see when Maharaj Parikshit was ruling, what was his rule? As I mentioned, he was already foretold that he will be a great king. But in his very life, we see that Maharaj Parikshit also ruled very powerfully. When Kali was attacking that cow and bull, Maharaj Parikshit, without any further thinking, removed his sword to kill Kali. And Kali Yuga, who is ruling this area today, in his age, he was so much frightened that he fell down at the feet of Parikshit Maharaj and he begged for his life. That was the rule of Maharaj Parikshit. And as far as devotion is concerned, we know that how Maharaj Parikshit, right from his childhood, in fact from his birth in the womb, he was attached to Krishna. Bhagavata mentions that when he took birth at a special auspicious constellations of stars. And then he was searching for Krishna. I saw that person inside the womb. Where is he? And because he was searching for Krishna, his name became Parikshit. And because he was attached to Krishna, he was Vishnurath. This was Parikshit Maharaj's devotion to Krishna. So Maharaj Parikshit has seen Maharaj Yudhishthira ruling, his devotion, and his himself accepting that in his own life. As far as retirement is concerned, as soon as Maharaj Parikshit came to know that he is cursed and is going to die in 7 days, Maharaj Parikshit, even though he had all the powers to counteract the curse, he immediately gave up the kingdom just like Maharaj Yudhishthira gave up his kingdom without even a second thought. He immediately installed Janmajaya on the kingdom, on the throne, and he went on the banks of Ganga, Hastinapur, and he sat down and then heard Srimad Bhagavatam for the next 7 days from Shukadeva Goswami. And then he gave up his body, thinking of Lord Krishna, and attained the supreme abode of Lord. So we can see that how a pure devotee king like Maharaj Parikshit is seeing all these great activities of his forefathers and therefore his influence. And therein we can see here that what Somadeva is saying to Prachita is also holding true. He's reminding them that what you are doing right now is not true to your valor, because you are not falling exactly like your forefathers. We have not trained you to kill but to protect. So this is about devotional, pure devotee kings. Now, Srila Prabhupada very nicely states in the 12th chapter, 30th verse, wherein Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, is a very powerful thing, where Prabhupada says that Sri Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of Lord like Maharaj Parikshit. One may not be as fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit to have opportunity to see the Lord in the womb. But even if he is not fortunate, he can be so made if the parents of child desire him to be so. There is a practical example in my personal life in this connection, Prabhupada says. My father was a pure devotee of the Lord. And when I was only 4 or 5 years old, my father gave me a couple of forms of Radha and Krishna. In a playful manner, I used to worship these deities along with my sister. And I used to imitate the performance of a neighboring temple of Radha Govinda. By constantly visiting this neighboring temple and copying the ceremonies in connection with my own deities of play, I develop a natural affinity for the Lord. My father used to observe all the ceremonies befitting my position. Later on, these activities were suspended due to my association in school and colleges. and I became completely out of practice. But in my youthful days, when I met my spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, again I revived my old habit. And the same playful deities became my worshipable deities in proper regulation. This was followed up until I left the family connection. And I'm pleased that my generous father gave the first impression, which was developed later into regulative devotional service by His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada is pointing that how he also got a training from his childhood. And this helped him to have a deep impact in his life, deep attachment to Krishna from childhood. So we can see if parents are devotees, then they give powerful training to children. Children watch their parents in their daily activities and they learn so much from them. In fact, I have heard many examples of devotees, children. And I also personally heard from them. I'd like to share some examples of Krishna conscious children having a lasting impression on their life in their later years also. Like I remember Govindpuru was mentioning one story about a pastime in Barsana, story in Barsana about Ramesh Babaji Maharaj. So Ramesh Babaji Maharaj in his late young days, he had gone to Mathura to learn music, musical instruments. And so Ramesh Babaji Maharaj was staying at a house of a Brajvasi there. And that house had three daughters, all small children of different ages. So Ramesh Babaji Maharaj would every day morning rise early and he would do his bhajan and write books. And he very wonderfully noted that as soon as the children's daughters, the girls would get up, and they would get up at different times because they were all different ages. The elderly girl would get up early. As soon as the elderly girl got up, she immediately closed her eyes. And even though Ramesh Babaji Maharaj was there, she did not see Ramesh Babaji Maharaj. She immediately walked to some place. And this happened to all the girls in turn. And Ramesh Babaji Maharaj was thinking that why these girls are doing like this? Why are they closing their eyes, not seeing me? The whole day they come to me and they ask me to tell stories about Krishna and Srimati Radharani. But now why they are showing this kind of behavior? So Maharaj called one of the girls and asked. And she told that I have been trained by my mother that as soon as you get up, the first thing you should see is the lotus face of Srimati Radharani. Nothing else. So they were trained like that. So once they got up, they would close their eyes, they would walk to the altar, and they will see Srimati Radharani, and then they will start their duties. Now the best point of this whole story is that many years later, Ramesh Babaji Maharaj met this eldest girl, daughter, and now she was already married. And unfortunately, she was married to a husband who was not so much devotional in his heart. And therefore, she could not be as devotional as she was in mother's house. And she had a kid also. So Ramesh Babaji Maharaj asked, so how is your life going on, your Krishna consciousness? And she mentioned that I am facing some trouble, but somehow I am continuing in whatever way I can. And she mentioned that my mother has trained me so nicely in devotional service, I cannot give it up. So even though facilities are not there for me, I don't have DTs with me. But then, the training of seeing first Srimati Radharani, I have never forgotten. So therefore, she showed her locket. And the locket had beautiful photo of Srimati Radharani. And she mentioned that even though I don't have deities to see, but whenever I get up, I see Srimati Radharani on my locket and I begin my day. So this is the powerful training which the child received from his parents, her parents, which gave us so much of nourishment that even though facilities were not there, this girl was practicing Krishna consciousness in her own sweet way. I also had a fortune of somehow associating with one devotee from Nandgram. This boy had come from Nandgram. He is the son of Padmanabh Goswami. No, Ramesh Chandra Goswami. Ramesh Chandra Goswami is the main mahant in Nandgram temple. So his son, Sonu, he had come here to Mumbai. And he had come to work at Hutch Orange. So his father was very worried about this whole thing, that he is coming to Mumbai. And in one way he was happy that he has come to Mumbai because he can associate with the devotees of Radha Gopinath temple and he can hear Radhanath Maharaj speak because these devotees of Nandgram are very attached to Radhanath Maharaj and devotees here. So one way is happy, but still was concerned because ultimately Mumbai is Mumbai. Even if you be with devotees, still you have to face the Mumbai bad association. And this fellow who has been brought up Nandgram suddenly had a desire to come and work in Mumbai. So his father did not refuse him. He allowed him to go. But he was very much concerned. So I remember Vishwarupu had called me and said that, can this boy stay in some base? And then finally, by Krishna's mercy, it was arranged that this boy stays in VTA. So this boy was staying in VTA for some time and working at Hutch. So since he was staying in VTA, I had a nice association with him. I asked him about his experience in Mumbai. And then he told me his experience in Mumbai. He told me that as the day he has reached Mumbai, it is as if Krishna is personally making him realize that this is a very filthy place for him to stay. He should get out of this place as soon as possible and come back to his original home, Nandigram. And he was mentioning many incidents which happened in his life. He was mentioning that how, when he was traveling to his office, suddenly which was a small shop was there where they were cooking some eatables. And suddenly that person who was cooking eatables, he gave a big chalk of this kanda and lesun. And that strong smell entered his nose and immediately vomited. And this happened for 4 to 5 times. He would stand on the platform and immediately some chok would be there at the railway stall and he would vomit on the platform. He had never ever smelled that kind of so-called, we can't call it fragrance, but bad odor. So for him it was a very difficult thing. And then what happened? The next thing. He saw in front of him a man was he was hanging on a train and suddenly falls down and is overrun by other train. And he sees in his own, he has never seen local trains first of all. Now he sees local train, a man dying in front of him. And he tells me that his experience was that in Mumbai when you go out, you should consider that this can be last day of your life. He said, when I'm in Vrindavan, I can drive motorbike anywhere. But here in motorbike means you're traveling on a stretcher. Anytime you can die. That was just mentioning. So Krishna was personally, these things are all, we already see in our life. But this fellow was getting realizations from these things. So he was not able to understand why these things are happening in life. And powerful was this, when he was working at the office, he realized that a very nice young devotee of his age, a member of Radha Gopinath temple congregation, also was working in the same office. So he was getting association of a devotee, he became friendly with him. And by both of their association, their boss, he also got Krishna consciousness, he came from Bhagavad Gita course. So from all angles, he was protected by Krishna. And then he was telling me that, please pray for me, actually I want to do MBA. But I'm trying to get MBA admission in Mathura. I'm trying my best, but I don't know if we'll get or not. So please pray for me. So that time he was recollecting that actually I have come here to earn some money and become little educated. But I remember my father saying to me, and he remembered his father had in childhood told him one particular shloka, verse, where his father had quoted a famous Braja Bhasha shloka that Ashwadhan Godhan Ratnadhan Khan Santosh Dhan Jahan Rahe Tino Dhul Saman. He told him that in previous ages, the great treasury was measured by Ashwadhan, how many horses you have, how many cows you have, and Ratna Dhan Khan, how many jewels and ornaments you have. But he told his child that if a person has this dhan of satisfaction in devotional service, Santosh Dhan Jahan Rahe, then all these three dhans, they are useless for him. And then he said, I am realizing it now, that I am hankering for so many things, but if I am satisfied, then I don't need all these things. And he was so much eager for Krishna, he was eager for the news from his land of Nandigram. When he would hear that Vishwarupu has got some prasad from Nandigram, some garland from Nandigram, he would run from VTA to Mira Road, sometimes in the evening. I would tell him, you are going rush hours? He said, no, I have to go, I cannot miss this. So I asked him, how you travel? Because you have no experience and you are traveling second class. He said, Krishna has arranged that also for me. He said, somehow I came to know that my uncle is in railways and is in good position. So my uncle told me that you can travel in first class without a ticket. And if TC catches you, you just put a mobile, ring me, and you talk to TC. So we can see that Krishna is arranging all these things for him so that he can return back. And finally the day came when he got the news that he got admission for MBA in Mathura. And immediately the next day, in fact without telling anyone, he left as if he wanted to really go there. and now he's happily doing MBA in Mathura. So we can see that this boy is trained nicely from his childhood. And such a powerful training he got from his parents that he could not give up his culture. I know one more devotee from congregation who lives in one of our bases. And he told me this, his experience in Krishna consciousness. This devotee stays in Mira Road, this boy. He's a very nice son of a good doctor devotee. And he mentioned he was a small child, small boy around in the 8th or 9th standard. That time Sridhar Maharaj was admitted in the hospital. And they were thinking that Sridhar Maharaj might leave his body there in the hospital. It was in critical stage. Now, he was having vacations that time. And he was an extrovert boy. You know, he directly went to Sridhar Maharaj and talked to him. And Sridhar Maharaj also a very jolly person. So he would love this boy and call. Morning he should come and evening he should leave me. Whole day he should sit with me. So this boy was happy because he got someone like Sridhar Maharaj to talk to. And massage Sridhar Maharaj, feed him. And he mentioned that time when Sridhar Maharaj was there in the hospital, so many devotees came to meet Sridhar Maharaj. All of his godbrothers, Sridhar Maharaj's godbrothers came to meet him. And they're all prominent leaders in different zones. He said that I would have never thought of seeing them, but I got them, I saw them, I served them. Devotees like Shivaram Maharaj, Yedhari Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, then Bhakti Bring Govind Maharaj, then Kesho Bharati Maharaj, and so many different sannyasis had come. Jayadat Maharaj, Kavichandra Maharaj. And they all came and stayed there for 2-3 days and he served them. He took them for morning walks in Mira Road and talked to them. And he mentioned that that vacation experience was such a powerful experience. And now he has got a college admission in professional college. So he's staying in one of our bases. And he's going to professional college and he's saying that when I'm going out, I'm being tempted by sense gratification so much because I have no friends in my colleges. And but he said, Prabhuji, I'll tell you one thing. Whenever Maya tempts me for sense gratification, I just remember those 3 months I had powerful association of all these devotees. And immediately all my enthusiasm comes up again. And therefore I cannot be tempted by Maya because I have this strong memory of power of association of devotees. So we can see that how this parents, they give this child full freedom, go and associate. And because of a strong influence on his character, even though he's staying away from his parents, he's studying in professional college, that influence is helping him so much in Krishna consciousness that he cannot forget that experience he had like that. So these are the experience of a small child who was trained by parents. Now many of us are not so fortunate of getting trained by parents who are devotees of Krishna right from birth. But the point is that if somehow this training is taken, even whatever time we have, better late than never, still that impression can help us. Now I would like to share 2 examples of devotees who had no previous upbringing in devotee life, but they got powerful training in association of devotees and they had a strong influence in their life. There is one boy who stays in Rampur base again, and he was born in South India. 2 parents were attached to Sri Sampradaya, but because of poverty, he had not taken up it seriously. And later, because his father got transferred to Srirangam, now this boy's devotional life starts in Srirangam. When he reached Srirangam, he had no understanding of what Ranganath is, Srirangam is there. He started going to Ranganath temple, and he loved the temple so much, he made it a point to go regularly. So he was visiting Srirangam, he was getting attached to Ranganathji. And on the other hand, he also had in his school teachers, there was one professor of physics who was a servant of Lord Ranganath in the temple, who was a Carnatic music player, and he would every day in the night play music so that Lord could sleep. So this was his physics teacher, and he would in his classes glorify Ranganath and tell stories of Ranganath. His principal was a Sri Sampradaya devotee who also held various functions of connected to Lord Ranganath. So from all angles he was getting association of devotees. And then he told me, he mentioned that how he got attached to deities so much. He would regularly visit. And then when he got educated, then he got an offer from Bangalore. And that time he told me that he recollects that he had gone in front of Lord Ranganath and he was crying that I am leaving you. Please take care of me. And then he came to Bangalore. The first day he went to the job, to the interview, as soon as he came out, he saw a big temple. There was ISKCON temple. And he entered the temple at Bangalore. He had never heard of Prabhupada, never heard about anything about Hare Krishna.
He went there. As soon as he came back to his office, he met a devotee. And the devotee preached him. He was a senior and gave him books. And this devotee, this boy became a devotee under his guidance. And now from Bangalore, he has come to Mumbai. And it's another basis. And what actually happened was, one day on Sunday, this boy had just recently come to Mumbai. He had no understanding of how to travel in Mumbai. He doesn't know where is Radha Gopinath Temple, Grand Road, and this Western Railway, Central Railway, Harbour Line, nothing. And he's a very simple boy who doesn't know how to speak Hindi also. His English also is highly Tamil accented. And this boy, he was staying on Sunday in the base, and because he had to wash his clothes. But at 3 o'clock, suddenly urge came in his heart that I have not seen Radha Gopinath this week. And he told the devotee, I want to go now. And the devotee said, now, Sunday is already over. Why are you going? No, I will take over to take darshan. So they gave him all the maps, all the details, how he can reach. And he reached here. So this is his attachment. Every day, every week without fail, he would come to Radha Gopinath just to see Radha Gopinath. Because there was a training in association of devotees. Now we also have example of Stoka Krishna Prabhu. How Stoka Krishna Prabhu received association training and association of devotees. Now in his last days, Stoka Krishna Prabhu was in a condition where he could not move. But every day without fail, he would take bath. Why? Because he said that so many devotees are coming to meet me, I should be fresh. With tilak all over my body. And therefore there was an ardent task. Devotees had to lift him with so much care because his spine had already gone. And take him on his chair and go to the bathroom and bathe him. It was 1 hour exercise for all the three devotees who were engaging in bathing him. She was kind of trained that devotees are going to come to me, they are going to see me, they should be happy seeing me, not more seeing my ugly features. I should be fresh. He was in fact shaving also regularly in that condition where he could not move. His half body was paralyzed. And when there was a will made, so they asked Roni Kumar Poo, when you leave your body, where your body should be taken? Should be taken to Belgaum, to your parents' house, or should be here with wife? He said, what are you asking? Why are you asking all these things? I have only one house. My house is Radha Gopinath Temple. Take me there. My body should be taken there. And then he called Dwarkadishpur and said, that, is it possible that I can go to Radha Gopinath Temple just before dying? And Dwarkadishpur told that it will be very difficult at that stage. But he said, please try. Tell me, just tell me. I'll try. I'll attempt to do that. And when they told that now hands off, you can go. So that time around 10:30 in the morning peak hours, there was summer heat. He was traveling in an ambulance. And doctors are not knowing whether he will survive for the journey or not. But he made an attempt. And he came from Mira Road in the rush hours at 10:30, 11 o'clock. And he reached Radha Gopinath Temple and made it. Why? Because that attachment came because of training and association of devotees. So we can see that how powerful the training of association of devotees, that it can leave a lasting impression in a devotee's life. So we can see here in this particular purport, Somadeva is reminding Prachitas of the powerful training they have received from their fathers and not forget that. So last thing, I remember that one time when parents were telling their child that Prabhu said that I will not name the child, the child is here only. The parents told the child that if you do these things, then I will tell to Govind Prabhu. And Govind Prabhu knows that what will he think about you. And immediately the child said, I will never do in my life. So you can see such a powerful influence of a sadhu on the life of a small child. That he will think twice before doing anything because now Govind Prabhu will not be happy. So this is the importance of training in association of devotees. And if fortunate, if your parents, devotee parents, we can get training. If not, at least better late than ever. We have already surcharged atmosphere of devotional service. We can get this training. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I am sorry for getting delayed. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Itai Gaur Premanand.